May all sentient beings enjoy happiness and the cause of happiness. May they be free from suffering. May they never be separate from great happiness devoid of suffering. And may they dwell in the great equanimity that is free from attachment and aversion. We are in page 145. We finished verse 59, now it's 60. In this part that we have to remind that as there is some differences between Buddhist philosophy and the ancient six kind of major tradition, spiritual tradition or philosophical traditions. There's Sanghyaism or Sanghya philosophy, and also other famous traditions. And some believe there is Atma, and some not believe Anatma, not believing there is a self, soul, and also some people follower of the eternalism and the forever existence kind of soul. Some believe there is the long-lasting independent soul. So based on these, Buddhism and Jainism, these are not followers of not fully Jainism. I think it's not believing the creation or creator, and also part of Sangha tradition. Also, there is a not claim there is no such a creator. So. Not following theistic religion. And also in India, some traditions having multi gods, not only one, but more. Some are following only one, only kind of a supreme creator. But for other traditions, there are many different kind of gods. Some are creating things, some are maintaining, some are destroying. So these the tradition, and also internally we can say five aggregates, as a Buddhist said, it's related to our body, physical body, and also our feelings arises through kind of our consciousness. And then the perceptions, formation, actions, these arises related to consciousness. And then say it's because we have this physical body that is not eternal. There's every changing, every moment, we're changing impermanence. So, whether it's from very gross or level or subtle level, we see things are changing. So including these five aggregates or five these feelings and formation, perceptions, these are also changing. So you can see everything changing. That means they have a new compound or decay, or things are kind of momentarily changing. So cannot say it lasts long forever, or it's really like that one thing in long. There is not such a independent, long-lasting kind of self-created things there. That all things are compound and impermanence. These are impermanent. So others we can see in society, political situation, economic situation, from material, kind of, even in scale of the universe, they are always changing, and these are recognized by normal people nowadays. Even science, all these have a lot of provided, a lot of evidence in macro level. Also, every moment there are rapid changes happening. Although, as appear as a kind of stable and for our eyes or our perception, these are changing in macro level. So since there is nothing from objective things are not long lasting or remaining forever, like those are not exist. And because of these are compound or interdependent things, so it's like our body, we can say this body as a whole, name and label as my own body, but it is a kind of including many elements, that lot of parts. If we have say we have 206 or more bones and different organs, skin, blood, and these kind of elements sometimes have a roughly category as 36 different things, and of course it's a lot of more if you can divide two things small. Some Buddhist texts even said in one body there is roughly, there are also more subtle kind of categories, but said even channel or these vessels, blood vessels, and also other kind of energy flow channels, there is a 72,000 kind of different channels. So it is not indivisible, or it is kind of carrying on the me or I, the name labels, but underneath they're all different things, kind of working simultaneously as a function, as a one body. If you say the atom level or these, then it's almost countless kind of elements in our body. And also what you, not only the physical body but form, but also feelings and perceptions also compound. So we have a kind of a right and left, top and bottom, good and bad, and kind of something appears, something disappears, or visible, invisible. These are also kind of an interrelated existence, these concepts. So without left cannot remain, you cannot pinpoint anything like right or something. So the upper, down, or these concepts are also same. And good and bad for you, it's good, maybe not good for others. So long and short, it's a relative concept, and because we have these reference, and then you can say without reference there is a much not absolute long and short, not exist. And comparatively, comparison, then you can say such a kind of descriptions. And also beauty or ugly, as we normally think, these are also relative. And for you, it's the most favorable things, maybe not for others. Even some people have an opposite kind of experience, like taste food or anything like that. For some people, delicious may not be same for two others. So, yeah, overall, he's saying we all see things are interdependent, so compound. And also the happy or feeling of sad or something, these also same because of education, beliefs, and the different kind of elements of your goal and what you are aiming or your own kind of personality, perceptions also make things different, peers differently. Perception is kind of describable. Things are different. Even one person within one morning, afternoon, today, tomorrow, this year, next year may not have the same idea and view or same habituation. There is also changing. So this is all pinpoint impermanence and the interdependent rising things are in lacking of intrinsic existence. That other words, it's emptiness. So it's major differences between other Buddhist schools and compared to other Indian philosophy. Generally, there is much differences. Even Jainism, they have a pretty much similar idea of not having one God, but there is a differences between Buddhist and Jainism, a level of compassion, the emptiness, how we understand emptiness. So for Buddhists, it's said all things started or the continuing in troubles in, with the identity of I and grasping towards I, and then thought is this I or this external existence are real. And the realness is going to create solid ground for people to attach to those things or phenomena. Then desire rises, greed or these have a base or ground for identity of I and mine. And with these can become aggression or aggressive or all type of different the afflicted emotions, distortions started. So for these, there are relative methods and ultimate methods, two things to change self-grasping and wrong identifying self and how you understand the reality. And one is in a Buddhist relative kind of a truth. It's said interdependent arising things contains these cause and the conditions or cause and the result. So we should understand what is the relative cause and what is the consequence or result, fruition or these kind of happening. So then law of causality, understand the law of causality become essential. and then we can eliminate negative karma. Or it can make a small impact. If you have already have created some negative karma or action, but there was a kind of consequences will arise, karmic imprint or karmic impact will be affected to you sooner or later. But before this kind of become mature and fully embraced, we can practice the opposite kind of the contradictory or the antidote of that negative karma is positive karma. So we will kind of make it not that impactive, big impact, or we can eliminate completely in relative scale, relative kind of a situation. And then we can not only eliminate or reduce the negative actions that create trouble for self and others, but also you can increase positive karma, positive actions, and these are including body, physical actions, verbal action, and mental kind of a movement or the view and the thoughts. So you're going to hold the proper actions of these three doors, then things are changing from the source, then it's a cause, and change things from causal position. And then it's what is a causal position. It's actually now you are doing what you are changing. Is you are determined to change now. You can kind of change the result of from past imprint wave of karma. Impacted to you, and also you are changing the future course, and at the moment you're also having kind of a purifying yourself and enjoying you are also in the peace or remaining in the positive actions. So these are kind of relative methods that deeply kind of aware about the cause and effect. And then this doesn't mean you can kind of free forever thoughts on the mental distortions or wrong view or ignorance. These are not eliminated by just kind of practice of a cause and a result. It's a relatively, you can say, enlightenment path of path to reach enlightenment. Also, there is a cause and an effect, but this cause and effect, that cause is the different, because as we said before, form of a truth, suffering. Cause a source of or cause of suffering, and the cessation and the path. So what we're talking about is the relative causality is talking about because suffering we don't want, then we will have to see what this is cause of suffering and change that cause. Then the result won't be like it's suffering, but more happiness. But for liberation, cessation, you have also cause. The result is a cessation, but the cause of that is path. What is kind of this path to practice of what kind of view and action to reach the nirvana, total kind of submission or the liberation is. So, to the liberation is. So, that is a kind of a, from relative truth going beyond to ultimate truth, that is the emptiness. Realizing the emptiness, then you have a fundamental kind of transformation or fundamental change. So you are not doing in a relative scale to delaying negative karma or before negative karma arises, so you achieve some positive karma to cancel that negative karma. And that is a good method, but not to liberating completely to yourself. You are not reaching the Buddhahood without effort of another level of causality, or you can say that is the emptiness practice. And then There's a lot of detailed argument here with the Sankhya philosophy, philosophical kind of views, but we may not have a same kind of a, maybe these are just kind of professional way to presenting their view under some claims, then to arguing and with the Madhyamika philosophy, and giving to us answering the questions as before. These parts, now at 60. If the hearing consciousness is permanent, it follows that it's hearing all the time. And if there is no object, what does the cognize? Or on what ground do you call it consciousness? So this is a part of, as we said before, there is a two level of self-grasping, kind of source of self-grasping. One is fundamental kind of a grasping, the habits that from our the past life, as long as you have this physical body and you have this mind and you have some kind of identity, naturally kind of born identity, feeling of me and mine, this kind of feelings. And then this, how you deal with that. So is the last class we have already explained how to practice and to kind of transform. And this mainly it's about selflessness, practice of selflessness. And then another kind of type of self is after you thought, you gave kind of investigated and also analyzed in a certain degree of what is phenomenon, what is kind of human beings or I and these feelings. And then you may have some kind of an incomplete of a conclusion, not perfect kind of conclusion. There is possibly also occurs. And from Buddhist kind of teaching, what the Sangha philosophy, a lot of the argument Sangha philosophy said, it's kind of makes sense very much. And also there is no disagreement with the Buddhist kind of practice. But the one thing is that there is a development of self, Atma, and Prakriti. It's a kind of a Sangha tradition. They were saying in Prama substance that is and there is an existence of a promised substance, and then they also divided those as 3 or 25 categories. So these happened. So then that means there are more kind of a belief, the mind or the self, Atman, is the kind of everlasting things. And also the Parkita, Parkriti, these primal subsistence also everlasting. This idea, two of those ideas rises, so become a major two philosophical tradition. And for Buddhists, we think, as we said, we explained before, everything is impermanent. There is no such a realness, real things exist, including subjective experience and objective things. So rises identity from after learned, these are called claiming the idea. So the, you're holding idea after you kind of analyze in certain kind of reason. So some people believe the external material are kind of a, everlasting things, existed kind of everlasting things. Some people believe the soul or Atma, these are kind of continuous forever. Because of 25 principles from Sangha tradition, I may just mention these are not necessary to memorize or remember it, but just want to mention those 25 principles. Categories into which followers of non-Buddhist Sangha school divide all phenomena to self, most subtle potentiality, pure potentiality, ego, I, and principle. These are kind of category and five subject, five subtle objects. Sights, sounds, smells, tastes, textures, and five sense organs, eye, ear, nose, tongue, skin, five organ of action, organs, these, organ, speech, arm, leg, anus, and the genital, the, telia. Then the, the organ of, intellect, mind, and the five elements, earth, water, fire, wind, space, these are 25 principle. It is the, and then the, as we said, the primal substance, the fundamental nature of reality according to the Sangha philosophy, it has a special feature. So it is the producer of all modulations. It is unborn and therefore permanent, eternal. It is unity or unitary. So it's a single, it means. It has no consciousness or thoughts, thought, and only object can be an object. It has object of enjoyment in person. These are very controversial kind of the statement of the principle. It provided the whole animate and inanimate object of the universe. It is the equilibrium or balanced state of the three qualities. These are general kind of a, we have a rough kind of a idea about Sangha philosophy. And here, specifically, he was saying, if the, in Buddhist always you have to kind of divide these two truths, relative phenomena, we are not denying it, but ultimately, there is nothing long everlasting realness in subject and object. These are the basic kind of foundation. And then sometimes argument happens because of not fully kind of having presenting these two aspects of the two truth. And or other partner or the opponent kind of intentionally or intentionally missing the point of Buddhist have a holding those two truth, a view of two truth. And then the hearing consciousness in permanent, these, we can say it's the, saying if we are not relying on the object, we just rely on our mind to hearing things. And then it said you should hear it all the time without sound. Because you are not relying on any objective kind of sound, but you can hear. Or you can say not rely on the object of sound, then the perceiver should not be, could be anything, like trees, or because they don't seemingly not need to have a dual or two object to hearing things. But even consciousness, if you're talking about consciousness, always having the object of consciousness, whether it's your own kind of reflections or from sensory organs to reflect objects of your kind of consciousness things. So if without this you can hear in things, then you can even kind of further say, could be the, could that tree or swan, these have a capability to hear. These comes, so that the mean is saying rely on the object relatively. We are relying on the object to be hearing things. If something that is unconscious knows, it follows that the stick has a knowledge also. Therefore, in the absence of things to know, it's clear that consciousness will not rise. That's one thing. And then if the self-seeing consciousness detects a form, at that time, why does it not hear? Perhaps you say the sound. Sounds no longer hear. Then neither is there consciousness of sound. Then it's more back and forth of these question and the answers. And then Sangya tradition, what they are saying is that when you're not hearing the sound, doesn't mean you have enough kind of information transformation between subject and object. You may see things, and then your consciousness will kind of performing the aspect of seeing but not hearing. For example, you see in a far place someone have a kind of a gun shot, someone having gunshot shooting, but before you're hearing, you may see the dust rise in that place, and then after you can see, hear the echo of this voice or sound. Because of delaying of the sound, and the eyes are much sharper and faster to see through. So these are kind of same, some are timing differences, some are distance differences. Because of too far, you cannot hear even all the time what they were saying, but they were, clearly you can use your telescope to see somebody having conversation with the others, but you cannot hear. Similarly, it's saying mind function in different aspect, not necessarily kind of having the one sound understanding through sound. But the point is then saying if hearing and the visual kind of elements, a visual cognition and the hearing cognition, these cognitions, the power to recognize things, to generate the understanding through mind, then it's kind of a different. You can or cannot say from here, you say, if you say mind, but has a different way to function. So mind cannot do, like you cannot use your ear to look, or you cannot use your eye to hear. So that must be have a kind of specific function capabilities in this body mind. If you say not body, it's all of about mind, and mind is only truth and everything that, then you should say, oh, your mind is capable to kind of function without this body. Without body, can you see it? Or without ear, can you hear it? Just pure for mind. These are in different levels of interact with the phenomenon. We have a different kind of understanding, or there is a way to understand. But just purely in our normal experience as a waking state of mind here, as a pupil, person, normal person, then you cannot say without sound or big object, specific. You just use your mind to kind of study hearing and function everything. Then these are impossible. Then you can become painter without any painting or something. You can train your voice without it kind of hearing any voice. These are impossible. Although if you have a first have a hear heard many voice, then later you become deaf, then you can do it. Otherwise you cannot do it. The Madhyamika tradition, the argument is here. Let me see. Perhaps you say the sound is no longer there, so it's because of far distance, you cannot hear or concert. Then it said, so if the sound is not in ear, so you cannot hear, then the consciousness to grasping to the sound, also without object cannot be exist. So the, mainly here about the argument is about mind without objects can be permanent or eternally way to functions, or without objects you cannot really call this mind. Minds and object, how kind of associated or compound, rising or balancing, or you can say, without the other, without one, the other cannot say existed. And how could that, which has the nature of a sound perceiver, ever be transformed into a form of perceiver? A single man, you say, can be born as son and father, but these are mere name. Merely names, his nature is not so. Then Sangya tradition will say, mind capable to have a kind of dual position or kind of function in multiple way. Of course, we can generally say mind is very powerful. And in Buddhist philosophy, different tradition also has a different explanations in almost a similar way to argue in the to some specific subject. But this here one said, a father same have a two more identities, like consciousness also same. One person could be a son and also a father. So depending on how he can say, identify himself or to the people. So Buddhist argument here is very interesting. It's saying we're kind of, for example, you hear, hearing organs are ear, and the hearer, consciousness, eye consciousness, or the ear consciousness, And we can say your consciousness is very different because, as we said, you cannot use your skin to hear or tongue to hear or nose to hear, but not eyes, but ear. So there must be kind of a special ability to hear sound, not using other organs. Although maybe you can say your body can feel, your skin can feel some kind of vibration, but it's not the same as a ear perceiving sound, because it's the kind of a one person sing or say very complex language or different words and meaning. You can immediately kind of perceive the all those informations that the skin or other kind of feelings cannot do it. So for this, if Sangya philosopher said this is because although you cannot hear, but without object, you can still have some information from the kind of performing with the connecting with the object. Although there's no sound, but you have a form. But in Buddhist, he said it's kind of a different function and different kind of ability. It's not just from mind. So it's this one said in Sangya philosophy, there is a saying, as a one person could be a son or father, because compared to their father or grandpa, they are grandson. For their own father, they are son of this father. But he has a own son or grandson, so he's also father and grandpa. These are same one mind, but have a different capability or function, way to functions. So this is generally you can accept this. The mind have a ability to do different things, but for relative world, like a human form, you cannot say directly, said what do we see or what do we hear is exactly what we hear without our organ. Pure mind to perceiving information, with compared to we have this full kind of a sensory power, then is that the same mind consciousness can do the can perform the same? Some are there is a level and differences. For example, if we in some text also explained, in if you are in after kind of a living part from this physical body, you can still hear and see things, but the mind clarity and in a chaotic kind of a state is very can go extreme in this clarity or chaotic kind of state in very levels beyond of normal kind of beings in this physical body. With this physical body, they have a more kind of a flexibility without this body. So you cannot say all of these are, you can say they are the same, there is a similarity, but you also can say these are not kind of a identical kind of a experience. Same experience. It's impossible. And then and likewise, pain, neutral, and pleasure are neither fatherhood nor sonship. And we indeed have never yet observed the consciousness of form perceiving sound. And these pain, pleasure, and neutral, these are normal kind of a experience for human beings. And this is also in Sangha tradition. They have a name of this experience of three things. I think it is called three ganas in Sanskrit, the Sanskrit. That is three ganas. It's pain, pleasure, and neutral feelings. This, trying to, what they were, yeah, actually there are a lot of ground of, can be understood, these two major kind of tradition to have a same understanding. For example, the pleasure, pain, neutral, these are normal human experience. But if you compare, saying, this, father, son, these kind of a, identity, way to identify father or sonship, fatherhood or sonship, and then you can say also pleasure, pain, and the neutral, these are, have a different, different identities. If you say, I can same time, I can be very pain, same time very pleasure. These are kind of a, if after impact may be possible, if you have a medical, surgical treatment or medical kind of a, you are taking, medical care or something, then you first you have a pain and later you're going to have a feeling pleasure and pleasant feelings. But in the same time, it's impossible. Like if you say you have an anger and peaceful in the same time, it doesn't make much sense. Or one said, I have a great compassion in the mind, but it's also same time, you know, kind of a great frustration, or I don't know. It's kind of under, if you say like temperature, you if you want heat, then cold will reduce. If you more cold, then heat will reduce. You cannot say both stay high, cold and the heat, the hot is in same high or low. It's impossible. And, but, like an actor, you reply. It takes, a different roles and, scenes. If so, this consciousness is not contained constant thing. And if it's a later mode, it's still the first. That identity needs to, that identity indeed and never seen before. And then the Sangha tradition have given another example, said once it's like an artist or actors, they can have a multiple characters. They can be in the role of different characters. So in the morning they can perform goddess or something, but in the afternoon they can character as a demon or something. So there are two characters seemingly, but it's one person performing to those two. So it said the mind also can hear and also can see. Then the argument, the answer is that these are kind of a timingly changed kind of performance and the characters, they cannot be at the same time as like a god with a performance character as a god and demon at the same time. If you say mind is truly existing, we are not talking about these other things. And then mind is, if you can say you can perform different characters, then mind is not eternal, but it's impermanent, and it's kind of changing and everything. And then it's from Sangya philosophy, it said, it's not because they have two characters, then mind still can be eternal, because the appearance of a mind is can be many kind of characters, but the essential kind of nature is same. It's like that way to say. This is if, and if it's a later mode, it's still the first that identity indeed never seen before. But it's a different mode, you say, are quite unreal. It's essential, therefore, you must know, describe. You say that this is a simply knowing. It follows that all beings are a single thing. So for this, continuing from that last verses. So if you say, oh, because the different characters, but in first characters, also mind. Next, the later characters in first the god, later demon or something, but it's all kind of consciousness, both are consciousness. So they are the same. If you said this, then then it said, or everything become one. So these are very, very popular. Now even very much impacted towards kind of all theistic, kind of religion, theistic religion. Say we are one universe as a one, and we are saying these are people holding as a kind of a great love, ground for loving other sentient beings, and also can say we have a kind of interrelated, or not, maybe we are one, we have a inseparable kind of relation, or we are one means maybe more than just a relation, but it's said if you if there is a logic also too, if you are harming others, then you are harming yourself, because we are one. It's like that. And then it's a kind of a, with a mind or without mind, things, subject and objects, these are also kind of eternal in this idea of everything is one, or everything essentially lost, long-lasting, independent, or with connected with all these kind of a creator or mind. So then is, you can say even God or and pure mind, when you become a lit moksha, and then Atma, and also merging or having same identity with the God of your own kind of a soul. And then that is eternal or long-lasting, this idea. And what has mind and what does not have in mind are this identical. For both are unique, both are equal in existing. If the different kinds of mind are all unreal, what a common base can be therefore there be for them? if you say then sound and form, color, or these in conceptual level or in the cognitive power level of consciousness, these seemingly different functions or different aspects of our use can be seen and these have a, let's say, you cannot just use, say, the nature of mind is same, so then performing of different functions can be no such a kind of a contradictions. Then we said what you pinpoint in the unchanging and changing is already in a contradicted in say one say the essential of mind, as we said before. This is called permal substance, these elements of the seeing, you hearing things, and on the mind itself, consciousness itself, you already have a dual kind of concept. How, if you say without these, you can mind, can kind of perceive or can, the given all elements or for performance between subject and object can be kind of justified by saying mind is the Lord or everlasting, but having lacking of giving more detail about how kind of essential and appearance can be interrelated, these parts. So mind, the sound and the color, these consciousness, together, there's two part of these, the appearance, they have a differences, as we said, the color and sound, completely different kind of appearance, and even kind of cannot use color description to describe the sound. Similarly, sound kind of a way to describe. If you learn professional sound or music, you can play guitar or piano or things like that. You cannot say after this person trained, then you can paint the color and or you become a painter. These are two different kind of professions. And if you, the appearance is like they're already different. And if you say nature of these appearance, then from Buddhist point of view, it said, oh, if you go to detail about the subject and object, you will see kind of a not real, eternal, but it's a kind of the emptiness, you can say. Even each sound is there's appearance and disappear, or any color, if you go detail, there is no such a color exists. The color is based on many elements, kind of the compound kind of a subject and object experience. If you say red, but it's really red. So these are a question about common karma and the individual karmas. For some animals, they don't have a color. So for some element, animal, even scientists kind of predicted some animal have a more visual power than us. They have seen more color than us. So it's a color real existed in that way. So if you that rely on, if you are also at the same time not saying the consciousness are not rely on the objective, this relative kind of, as we said, appearance, relative appearance. But ultimately, if you go conclude to the nature, then nature is emptiness, not everlasting and eternal. So these have a fundamental kind of differences between these two traditions. And then the another tradition from India is Jnana tradition. So there was also talking about rely on the elements of existence of an external kind of form. So form is emptiness also too. In this aspect, if you say material dominant or material in a certain time, scientists also holding these material first kind of, or some people believing material can explain everything. Those kind of logic and theory is there. So to answer those questions is next part. And then I'm going to have something destitute of mind we hold is not a self. For mindlessness means matter, like a vase. But you say the self has a consciousness when joined to mind. Then this refutes its nature of unconsciousness. So it said, if you say consciousness is the fundamental I, then the eternal or everlasting consciousness holding these levels of, if you just without other kind of two-truth idea about two-truth, some perform, they do say two-truth, but in this kind of a fundamental emptiness, how you understand emptiness, very different tradition. In Buddhist schools, as we described, the four schools have a different idea about what is self and selflessness and empty and emptiness, the idea, understanding how you shunyata or and selflessness, and also selflessness of phenomenon or phenomenon also empty. This understanding is kind of there's a progress levels, different traditions, four kind of major Buddhist tradition. But here is a without consciousness, that can be kind of a material first level of, and then consciousness follows this produced by material kind of a capability of power or their elements. Some people believe mind or these are just neurons and the electrical kind of waves in small level. It's same, this idea, same. And if generate your own, this physical body, generate some kind of a cognitive functions, power of function to know things. And then for this, it's said that because of these I without kind of a consciousness in same level of understanding in different other traditions, so they think consciousness cannot make kind of such a karma and create positive negative karma. They don't have to bear that also consequences. Then this kind of a causality, they kind of refuse that. that. Others, or Charvaka tradition, some also too, they only believe of this life, and some can function in this life, then periods and future lives, consequences of the karma, they don't kind of accept. So the, without mind, you cannot create kind of such a motivation differences. When you have a different positive, negative motivation, then you create habituation, and then you kind of bound to have some result of this happiness, the positive, negative consequences become pure as a suffering or happiness. So if this claim is right, then if you said just this is an object of this body, mind is kind of a no such a consciousness level of a first separate mind in subtle level, then we are human beings as a robot or as a kind of a vessel, like a bottle or stone or wood. These are no differences. So you can claim that me as a wood or a stone, may some people, well, in certain period of time, they can do it. For some people, like a motionless object, they still have a very strong attachment towards those things, seeing them as a kind of a some with some consciousness or living with a communication with even you can communicate and these. So in the ancient time also some people praying for a stone or these sun or moon or things like that also existed. For some, this representing others, but for some, this object itself can be kind of a there is a soul or some for trees and rocks, these possible. So for this, for some people, we are saying these are individual freedom to what way to practice or what is effective to you. But for if we say this is a universal kind of a value or a claim as a between different tradition, we can debate or analyze more faults, whatever. Then kind of these question and answers rises. So I think we're going to today stop here because the rest will be a lot of argument in this Jnana tradition. So one more verses. If the self more over is immutable, what change in the in it could mingle in with the mind produce, and selfhood we may equally affirm of empty space, inter and destitute of mind. So it's a kind of way to also refuse of that objective me and only that is real existence. If eternal, holding eternal tradition, every mind is eternal, objective of a mind, things are eternal, these, and then we analyze or identify or we put our identity, I, with these spiritual and objective things, with these saying we are also eternal. with because these things, consciousness is eternal, or objective, the things, material things are eternal. So I also kind of, the mind or the soul also eternal. This understanding comes. So it's if I are eternal, non-changing kind of things, then we were talking about the consciousness. What is the impact towards mind itself? What is eternal and the relation with the mind? How it kind of happens? If mind and cannot be kind of impact any internal things, eternals, as we said before, it's like you hearing sound, you can hear it forever because you don't based on conditions or kind of a reference, you are eternal by yourself. So, you suppose you are not to rely on anything, other things for functioning as a kind of a eternal believer. So you cannot, so you say I for Atma, or these are not to rely on anything. So you cannot really understand eternal mind, and also you are not to be dependent or rely on anything to kind of perform functions. So you can claim as a sky or something, as a me, identify as a yourself. So for this, I think you still have to differentiate the two truth, two relative truth. In Buddhist position, we also not denying the mind, power of mind, capability of the mind. So eighth consciousness from the mind only school, they divide the level of mind in eighth level of consciousness, aspect of consciousness. These physical body also, there are a lot of knowledge or different way to practice of this use of our body, use of our sensory organs, use of these between the organs, sensory organ with the function towards objective sound, color, and then smell, texture. These also our direct experience. And then what the Madhyamika said, all things, including subject and object things, are essentially empty of self, kind of existing self. You cannot pinpoint or grab in anything in subtle or gross level. You can get do it because it's a relative truth. You can see things, form and the color, sound, these. But if you go detail, then you will find nothing. So, relative appearance and the functions, we can accept, and we are living in that level, these appearances. We are kind of in a daily experience. But if you go using your wisdom to check each forms and each kind of feelings, perceptions, and the formation and the actions, these also including not only your own physical body, these, but any kind of a co-function phenomenon, like using your eye organ, using the object and the mind, these, to produce this image and the sound of these, you can also, penetrate or see through these, check those with your own mind and logic, and then you will find out this is just a kind of temporary appearance. So you can put this temporary appearance as a kind of, there is a law, there's math, and or category of these secular teachings, these as a some degree of understanding, or you can say relative truth in for you experiencing these. And then there are not such a, some experience is not relative truth, but it's a kind of a concept under relative truth, but it's a misunderstanding relative truth. That's kind of the way of having conclusions and a statement, to not knowing the relative phenomena, how they are functioning. For example, used to some different descriptions about these phenomena, including earth and is round or square or and flat or flat or this. If you say earth is flat, this is a kind of a normal your experience, but doesn't mean that is a true relative truth. False or relative truth, that could be category as a false or relative truth. And what is a true relative truth? It's earth is round. In general, you should say this, but if you're talking about whole earth, of course it's round. So there's no kind of, for this is a relative truth, yes, it's a relative truth. Relative truth divided to truth and false. This is relative truth in truth. Relative truth in false is the thoughts about earth is flat, or the land, or this earth is flat, kind of these misperceptions. But this is a just one thing. And then if you say nature of this earth, nature of these original kind of and rises, and what is the process and on end, then we will say this is could be there's five elements and the space and wind and heat, and then the water and the earth arises, and then one kind of process, after a certain process, they will kind of go in other directions, will disappear in the space. And this is a kind of another way to relatively say this earth. And then if you say, there are many details in between rises, but of course, if you say all these phenomena, what is kind of related to your mind and the object, well, then you can say mainly how mind and the object have certain kind of cycles. Earth have the cycle, and as a human being, we have a human life of a cycle. And then the consciousness also do have the appearance and the disappearance. These are also relative truth. Then ultimate truth is saying in, overall you can say all phenomena, these you cannot find anything intrinsic existence, including mind, body, and the external phenomena. They are, kind of a, compound temporary appearance. So if you do have a very firm understanding emptiness, with the form and the nature is emptiness, not the eternal, then we say you have a kind of a interdependent kind of a view. So different from other ancient Sangha tradition of these. So now we will stop here. I'm going to dedicate this and with the respect of all different views and traditions. Each one person have a different karmic relations. So following their own tradition, there must be kind of a great benefit from different spiritual tradition. But they also, in Indian tradition, there is a, without fighting, broken war, or become respect people, person, in just as a person, you respect. But with the idea, you have a different argument or these with the respect of this person, then this is a great tradition. In some other traditions, they may have a, so if I don't I don't agree with you, then I will break in war and I will physically kind of eliminate you, these people. Then it's a very kind of savage or very bad. So we hope Indian tradition as a glorious tradition respect different views and especially not harming people who holding different views. These are important. May the lives of the glorious masters be secure, and may all beings enjoy happiness and peace. And may we all accumulate merit and wisdom, purify all negative karma, and sweetly reach enlightenment. I don't have our textbook here, but today we will kind of just dedicate, use these verses. Have a great weekend for all of you.